And the background music of Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. And it is program number 530 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of Central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. Our theme wrapping up right there. And we are now coming up on 15 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, 37, and overcast skies here in Central Minnesota. And we have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Chad Busta. Chad, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. And speaking to you where? At home in Onalaska?
Yep, home in Onalaska.
All right. And born and raised there, or where did you get started, Chad?
No, actually, I was born in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Me and my older sister Lisa were both born there. And then Molly and Jason were born in Dubuque. So all of us were born in Iowa, but we were kind of raised in Spring Grove, Minnesota. And then from there, oddly enough, majority of us went to schools down in Iowa, except for my brother Jason. He went to the U of M.
Okay.
So, and then after that, after college, I came to work in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and have been in the area ever since.
Okay, very good. What did you wind up doing for a day job there?
So I went to school for at Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa, for communications. And so when I was done, well, with an emphasis in electronic media. So when I was done, I was looking for jobs in either TV or radio, and I went to work for WKBT, the CBS affiliate, here in La Crosse, Wisconsin, for about 10 years. And then I went to work for a cable company up in Winona, Minnesota, for about 10. And then now I self-contract myself out and do video work for companies and places that need commercials and corporate videos and that sort of thing.
Oh, wow. So not exactly a stranger to the microphone then. I know you had mentioned that you did some radio work. So did the on-air thing like this too?
Yeah. Actually, down at Wartburg, I had a radio show, and then I was the music director down there for a couple of years. So.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And was it a polka show, or what type of music?
No. Oddly enough, no. It was more of a alternative rock. It was KWAR 89.1, and it was a college station, so pretty much you could kind of decide your own format. As a matter of fact, I'm a huge fan of 80s music, and so on my show I would do at least an hour of 80s music because of my love of 80s music.
So. Okay.
But I'd slip in a polka here or there. So.
Oh, you do. Okay. Well, obviously you did because you were born in a polka family. And what age were you when you got started banging on those drums?
Well, I think I got my first drum set when I was 5. My dad bought it from, I remember going out because we went out one night somebody local was selling an old drum set, and I remember on the way out we stopped because this farmer's cows had gotten out, and Dad got out of the car to like try to help round it up, and then he came back in the car very quickly and he said, "That's not a cow, that's a bull."
So, oh my goodness.
But yeah, so we picked him up and came home that night, and I think I started banging on him right away, and I was thinking in my head, like, you know, okay, I get to play rock music and this and that, and I remember Dad saying, "Here, try listening to this polka tape," and that's kind of how it started.
Okay.
And then when I was 6, we went to a job down in the Amana Colonies at the Brick House, actually. And I remember Dad had thrown in my drum set because he was like, "Well, I'd like you to play a set or two. I think you're ready." Okay. And I was a little nervous, but I was like, "Sure, that's fine." Well, come to find out that it was getting closer and closer to performance time, and his normal drummer had not shown up.
Oh, no.
And so he's like, "Well, you may just have to play the job until he shows up." And so I ended up playing the whole job.
Wow.
And, I feel so bad for anybody who was trying to dance that night because it was, I'm sure it was atrocious. And I had the horns every time they would stop, like they would be on their break. They would turn around and help me count and this and that. So, tip of my cap to Dan Davies and Leonard Birchka, who who helped me through that job and helped keep me counting and this and that. But
okay.
But I eventually got, I obviously got a little better as I went. But by the time that I was age 7, I was Dad's normal drummer.
You were wonderful. Yeah. And was that the only instrument you took up, or did you pick up any of the other ones?
No, in high school I played tenor sax as well. And I can still play it a little bit here and there if I practice. I always wish I played the piano, so I recently started kind of trying to dabble with that. But and then I played just because it was a natural thing. That I remember one time my dad came down 6 a.m. one school morning and said, "Hey, get up, you. The high school band needs a drummer. High school jazz band needs a drummer." And I looked at him and I said, "I'm not in high school." He goes, "Doesn't matter. Get up." So we had went there, and the band instructor at the time, his name was Gary Reedy, he was playing in Dad's band. And so he knew that I could drum, and so I walked in, too, and I said, you realize I don't read drum music?" And he goes, "No, just, you'll be fine. Give me a swing beat and this and that." And I started playing it, and he goes, "Yep, that'll work." And then we just kind of went. So,
great stories there. Great memories. And these are all a few years ago, huh?
Yeah, a few years ago.
Oh,
so,
yes.
I mean, I've been drumming now for 40 years.
Oh, my. Okay. Very good. Well, and I know, so you are also the brother of Molly B., Molly Busta. And, of course, we've seen Molly up here this summer. She came up this fall, actually, and did a performance at the Paramount Theater here in St. Cloud. And she plays, what, all of 12, 13 instruments, I think, on that performance?
Yeah, something like that, if not more, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, all the instruments that she plays.
Yeah. And you got to perform and play with her over the years. Must have been a pretty good treat, or is it? Was there the sibling rivalry?
Oh, it's terrible.
It's terrible, huh?
I'm kidding. No, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that Molly and I are so close.
Oh, okay.
By the time that, I mean, Molly had played intermittently here and there, and she'd always had sang with the Jim Busta band, but it wasn't till she was the ripe old age of 10 that I think she was a regular member as well.
Yeah.
And so you know, from that point on, you know, Molly and I spent a lot of weekends and stuff together playing in Dad's band, and it was never, you know, it was never a sibling rivalry sort of thing. It was always we got along pretty well, and obviously I think the music helped out with that.
Well, absolutely, and we've sure enjoyed her level of performance up here in central Minnesota. Lots of folks came out to see her at the Paramount, and you know, much requested here at the radio station. So yeah, it's a really cool thing, and I'm sure your dad was very proud of each and every one of you that participated in the band. Talk a little bit about your dad. We lost him this summer?
Yeah, we lost him July 24th.
Okay. And I feel bad. So I was at the Minnesota Hall of Fame ceremony, or the big banquet that they have every year down in New Ulm. Mm-hmm. And I was there the year that Lester Shuft got inducted, and that was the same year that your sister Molly got inducted into the hall. And your dad was there, and he was in a wheelchair, but, you know, he had not been doing real good up until that time, and you guys brought him in there, and there were so many people that wanted to get to him and see him, and so I talked to Molly, but I never did get over to talk to your dad in person or shake his hand. And, you know, through the years, I had bought a lot of CDs from him and talked to him many times on the phone, and so I thought, well, I'm not going to try to intrude on all these people that are trying to see him, but didn't know that he was going to get away so quickly.
Yeah. So, well, I was there that night as well.
Were you too?
That night.
Oh my!
Yeah, very well. So, very once again, very proud of Molly and all her accomplishments.
Absolutely.
But so is obviously so was Dad and my mom Mary Lou as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Dad was he got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in, what was it, February of 21?
Okay.
And yeah, so we had just come back from a trip, and he got the phone call shortly after my birthday, actually. And you know what? For being, I mean, no cancer is good, right?
But, no.
They always say that, you know, pancreatic cancer is one of the
hardest really to overcome. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want. And so, I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, they say life expectancy after that is, you know, 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
And we thankfully had him for another 2.5 years.
Yes.
He fought a hard battle, but he always had a positive attitude, which is why, like, you know, when he, you know, just the idea of it's a good day to be alive. That was always his motto. And so, and he was right. I mean, so we took those and took the days that we had and tried to do things that we wanted to do and have conversations and talks and this and that. And so, and for a while, like he went through a very, very big surgery early in 2024, and we thought that they had gotten most of it. And then they started seeing scans of the fact that it was coming back.
Okay.
And so at that point in time, we knew that it was, we didn't have a ton of time, but let's make best of the time that we do have.
There you go.
So I feel, you know, we did, and just always do what we can to honor his memory, and our love of music comes from our dad. So
you bet.
I thank him so much for that.
You bet. Now, was he able to play any more jobs after he was first diagnosed? Did he pick up the concertina anymore, or was that the end of it at that time?
No, I mean, not right away, but then, I mean, he was kind of like, well, you know, I'm going to do this. And so he did. And so we did do a few jobs, and we played some Oktoberfest jobs and this and that. I mean, it wasn't a ton size, but at the same time, like, the ones he wanted to do,
sure,
he still made an effort to do it. And so, yeah, I mean, it was just went again to show, you know, his willpower and his love for music and to get out and do what he wanted to do. So,
you bet.
Yeah, so we didn't play a ton, but we played a few, and the ones that we did play, he sure as heck enjoyed.
I'll bet. You know, and just curious, and I know folks out there probably would have dozens of questions for you, Chad, but so now after your dad passed away, have you played the drums anymore? Have you played with any other bands? Or have you?
Yeah, so I've filled in with Molly a time or two here and there if the good drummers can't make it. So
oh, no.
And then I fill in with Carl here and there, and Brian Briggan and Gary Briggan. I played with Becky a few times.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's kind of, if you're in the poke industry, you know, like,
yep,
you beg and borrow and from other bands and do whatever. And I still get out and play. But most recently, as far as my actually performing stuff, is I've been going on the road to larger festivals with Molly and Squeezebox and doing actually a lot of singing with her.
Okay.
Because we obviously grew up singing in Dad's band.
Yep.
And it's just something about that, you know, the sibling harmonies can be, it's like, you know, harmonies you can't get with anybody else.
Yeah. So, yep. It's very special, very unique.
Yeah. So I've been going out and doing a lot of that and singing with Molly, and it's been a lot of fun.
Okay. That's wonderful. You know, They, you know, a simple saying that they have is that you never miss the water till the well runs dry. Well, I always think of it. I used to play with a couple of bands up here, and we're no longer playing. And I think back of the routine that a guy went through, all the jobs that we played. I mean, a lot of times we were playing three nights on a weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and maybe occasionally a date during the week. Some special event or something. And so I don't want to say it became monotonous, but I mean, it because you're working a regular job, and so and then you've got a family, and so there's a lot of ends to cover. And all of a sudden, when it goes away, when it quits, you really kind of miss it, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think back to, so So back in kind of the Jim Bustavan heyday, and the members at that time were Jeff Sparky Bierman, Steve Kenny, Molly, Dad, and myself. And there were times that, I mean, I remember some summers we'd play 2 weeks straight. It was every day at a festival or a music in the park or a dance or whatever. And, you know, you'd sit there and you'd be like, you get about a week and a half in and you're like, you know what? I don't want to play tomorrow. I don't want to see you guys for another month. But yeah. Then it would come to the end of that time, and if, you know, a week or something would go by, and you'd be like, well, now I kind of miss it.
Yep.
It got significantly more because when Dad's band did kind of have to take a break because of his illness, you really missed it. And so the times that we did get back together and would play, it was such a joy. I mean, one of my favorite ones was my dad loved going down to Protovin Czech Days.
Okay.
In Protovin, Iowa. And let's see, it wasn't this past year, obviously, but the year before, Steve and Jeff and Dad and I got back together and we played the parade and went through a couple times. And it was like old times again. It was so much fun hanging out with those guys. And Steve and Jeff, even though I don't get to see them as much as I'd like, those guys are like family to us. So.
Yep. I get it. Chad, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. It's
sure.
Already 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. I'm going to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market, then I'll come back to you if that's all right.
Sounds good.
All righty. So Cy here for the St. Joe Meat Market. Stocking stuffer ideas abound when you come into the St. Joe Meat Market. Snack sticks, all vacuum sealed in small packages, come in numerous flavors. Whole muscle and ground beef jerky, also vacuum sealed in small packages, also available in several different flavors. How about some bacon, which is now available in some exciting different flavors like the extra maple flavor, the peppered flavor, raspberry chipotle, jalapeno, and now prime buttery prime rib flavor, all vacuum sealed and priced for you to grab and go. The ever-popular snack packs are being made daily and will fit into your stocking so nicely. There are many, many brats, breakfast links, and sausages, all vacuum packaged and ready for stocking stuffing. How about a polka music CD or a Christmas CD, all available at the St. Joe Meat Market? Great for stocking stuffing. Don't forget your pets. The St. Joe Meat Market has smoked beef bones, smoked beef liver jerky, and smoked pig ears for in your pet's stocking. Also beef suet for feeding the birds. Still unsure what to get? A St. Joe Meat Market gift card might be just what the doctor ordered. They can be made out in any amount, and they never expire. Calling ahead and placing your order in advance is especially helpful this time of the year so that your order is ready and waiting when you arrive. As always, for prices and more information, call 320-363-4913. You can like us on Facebook or look us up on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com. A wish to you and yours for a safe and fun-filled holiday season from Harvey and Carol and the whole gang at the St. Joe Meat Market. Chad, for being our guest on the show, this is how it works. We put up a nice package for you at the St. Joe Meat Market, and along with KASM. We send that out to your priority mail. Hope that you get it, and with those around you, hope you enjoy it in good health. How's that sound for you?
Well, that sounds fantastic. We always enjoy a good package of meat.
There you go. So do you have a family? Are you married or kids or anything?
Yep, I'm married, and we have 4 kids. And quite the, my oldest is, going to be 18 here in a couple of days.
Okay.
And then Xavier, that's Kennedy. And then, Xavier is 15. Jaden is 11. And then Cameron was actually born the day that my father passed away.
Oh, I did hear about that. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Yeah. And the older kids are involved in band. They both play trumpet in like a concert setting, but Kennedy does color guard for marching stuff, and then Xavier does drum line for marching. And then Jaden, my 11-year-old, is he's just getting into band now that he's in middle school, but he has been playing drums since probably age 2. And he's very good. He's got a very good ear.
Uh-huh.
He can listen to something and repeat it back very quickly.
So oh, my.
Much, much better than I was at his age.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. It's nice, you know, and my experience, you go to different events and things. Anytime there's youth involved, I mean, with the high schools and even the grade schools, people really, really enjoy and appreciate the youth being involved in the music or the activities. It's just so neat because it seems like there's a future yet, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's why schools can never get rid of the arts.
Yep.
We got to do what we can to keep the arts in there because they're so important.
Absolutely. Switching gears here just a little bit. Again, your dad was such a good concertina player, and I mean, he was playing concertina probably before you were born, huh?
Yeah, I don't think too much more before I was.
Okay.
As far as the band and stuff got started, it was maybe right around that time.
Okay.
But what's so impressive to me about my dad and how he learned, I mean, he learned to play from books.
Okay.
He didn't have anybody. He wasn't an apprentice of anybody. He didn't take lessons.
Oh my. Pretty much self-taught.
Yeah, I mean, 100% actually.
Yeah.
So the fact that that he taught himself how to play that very complex instrument from a book, it kind of blows me away to this day still.
You bet. Now, concertinas, did you keep them or have they been sold? What's happened to the family library?
They are all still here. They are intact. I don't think they're going anywhere soon.
Okay.
Anytime soon, Ty. So.
Okay. Well, that's great. And, you know, being a good concertina player, but then he knew other musicians. And, of course, you mentioned Carl Hartwig. And
yep.
He involved Carl with some of the recordings, too.
Yeah. Our last, let's see, I think it was it volume?
I seen volume 4 already. His name was mentioned
yeah.
in.
Volume 4, we recorded at Carl's house.
Okay.
And that's where, honestly, I think I got to know Carl a little bit better through that. I always knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was through that recording that, as a matter of fact, there was one time that he was complaining about he didn't like a certain cymbal when I hit it. And I finally got the gusto to say something back to him. He goes, I don't like that cymbal. I said, well, I do. This is our recording. He goes, okay.
That sounds like Carl.
Yep, exactly.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that you and I have in common, and probably a lot of other musicians too. But I've kind of had a bucket list of concertina players, and I can list them. Really good name known ones. I mean, for example, Jerry Schuft. I got the drum behind Jerry Schuft. Reinie Motschke. Just recently, Larry Olson, and I feel very proud of that. And Carl was one of them. So we were recording a CD with Lester Schuft back in 2013, and I had told Lester that, you know, I never got the drum for Carl, and so he kind of prearranged it. He said, we're going to have Carl do a number here. So he and Lowell Schubert actually did a duet on the Overcoat Polka on that 2013 recording, and Lester said, Si, I want you to drum this, and so I did, and so we tapped it off. And we started right on a dime, and all of a sudden Carl looked around and winked, and we stopped on a dime, and Carl says, I don't think we can do any better than that. And so that was my one and only song I ever drummed for Carl, but very proud of it because he is just a fantastic musician.
Yeah, what always gets me about Carl is that, I mean, he is such a master on that instrument. The fact that he can not all, but most, if you have to change keys, they change boxes.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do it. He
no.
can do it in his head, and he can transpose right on his B-flat box. And to me, that blows me away. So.
We've had him on the show here several times. And, yeah, some of the concertina players, you'll see them bring in a half a dozen hangles or whatever, and they'll go to the various keys. And I asked Carl on one occasion, how many concertinas in your closet, Carl? And he said, one. And I said, one? And he said, yeah, I can get in enough trouble with one. So, and that's Carl.
That's something he would say.
Yep. Personality is just number one. And I can imagine how much fun you guys had recording with him as well.
Oh, yeah. So, and the funny thing about him, too, is, you know, he'll tell you a story. And then you'll sit there and you'll be like, well, that can't be true. And then and then you start to think about it and you're like, well, wait, why would he lie? And
yeah.
Then it's like most of the times that he's like, yeah, no, that actually happened. So always cracks me up.
It's all true. It's all true.
Yep.
Any other musicians that you'd like to mention before we let you go that you worked with?
Let's see. I honestly couldn't name them all. I'm very thankful for, obviously, my dad and the opportunities that he gave us all.
Yeah.
And for the love of music. And so it really does go back to him. But obviously playing with my sister Molly is still a treat and a joy, and I thoroughly enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
All the years with Steve and Jeff playing in the band too, like those were, in my opinion, kind of like the glory years of the Jim Busta band, when we had the most fun, and just picking on each other and playing jokes on each other was a blast. But other people who have played with us through the years. We had a celebration for Dad's 45 years in music here about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Down at the Oktoberfest grounds here in La Crosse, Wisconsin, and so many people showed up, and so many past musicians that have played. I think there was maybe 40, around 40 musicians that had showed up that at some point in time had either filled in with us, or played a song here or there, but took the time to come and you know, tip of the cap to Dad for all that he's done for the polka industry. And we really miss him.
Absolutely. I totally hear you all the way there. And, wish good things to you and your family from up here in central Minnesota, because those firsts are always tough. You know, it's the first Christmas now without him. He was not only a band leader and I believe an administrator and principal mm-hmm. and teacher and all of that, but he was genuinely a good person. I mean, I enjoyed my conversations with him immensely over the years that I had with him, and I wish I had him tape recorded or whatever, but I do remember bits and pieces, and he was such a great person to talk to.
Yeah, well, he's just a fantastic role model for all of us. He was that. He would always take the time for somebody else, and he just enjoyed life. He
yes,
really did. And
you
so
bet.
If he was one of those that if somebody needed help, he would help. That's just the way it was, and that's how we were taught. So.
Absolutely. You bet. Well, Chad, I think I maybe forgot to warn you, but usually right before I let you go, I ask you if there's one special memory over your career that you'd want to share with the listeners over the air, good, bad, or otherwise. And just an example, I've heard people tell me stories of having the tires stole off the band trailer or the band van, or maybe playing for thousands of people at Carnegie Hall or President's inauguration, getting stuck in a snowstorm. What, with giving you just a couple seconds to think, what comes to your mind that you might share with the listeners over your career?
Wow. Well, almost everything except for Carnegie Hall.
Okay.
Almost everything you mentioned, I feel like has happened to us.
Okay.
We've lost the tire. We've, at one point in time, the trailer actually popped off the hitch. One that comes to mind is the time that we played. We were supposed to go to someplace in central Wisconsin, and the night before we had stayed up in the Twin Cities because we had a job the night before, and there was an ice storm that came through, and the interstate was literally a sheet of ice, and all the rest of us are like, Dad, we shouldn't, let's just call and cancel, like, they'll understand.
Yep.
And he's like, no, I think we can make it, and they're expecting us, and I think what was supposed to take maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, took us 4.5
oh my.
To get there.
Oh, my.
If we saw one semi, if we saw one, sorry, car in the ditch, we saw 80.
Uh-huh.
And we saw probably three jackknifed semis.
Oh, my.
And it would be a thing, if you'd go more than 30 miles an hour, you'd start to feel like the trailer slip or the van slip. And I don't know how we did it. Well, he did it, but my dad was white-knuckled, I think, the whole way.
Yep.
But we made it, and everyone at the hall, I thought we were going to get there and people were going to be, gone, like they were sick of waiting. But we had called ahead and said, no, we're still going to try to make the trip. And it was a packed house when we got there. And everybody enjoyed it so much. And it goes back to my dad and the times that other people, I think, would mail it in and be like, yeah, no, it's not worth it. He was people are expecting us. And we're gonna do what we said we did.
So you bet.
That one always sticks in my mind of one that I was like, man, I don't know how we got there. But we did, and it was again, thanks to my dad just saying, nope, we're going to make this happen.
Yep, your dad and a little divine intervention, and it works. You bet.
Yeah.
Well, great story, Chad. Yeah, looking at the clock on the wall, I can't believe that time is we could go on for another couple hours here.
Sure could.
Just wonderful listening to you and telling stories of the Jim Busta Band and the whole thing. So, but, I tell every guest before I let them go, if the good Lord is willing and you and I are here down the road sometime, we'll do this thing again. How's that?
Sounds great.
All righty. So with that, we're going to let you run. Have a great afternoon. And if you want to hang on, I'll talk to you off the air.
Sounds good.
All righty. And there he goes, Mr. Chad Busta, our 530th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. We're at 15 minutes before the hour of, past the hour of 12 noon, 15 past 12, 37, our current temperature. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by the Jim Busta Band in just a moment. Larry Razavian is out of town checks with our theme. Musicians Come and Play wrapping up right there. Wraps up our 530th edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. Chad Busta, our guest today on our Musicians Come and Play. And he is the son of Jim Busta, the Jim Busta Band, and brother of Molly Busta. Well, we're going to get into music of the Jim Busta Band right now. Here's one off their Volume 3 CD, one called the Apples, Peaches, Pumpkin Pie Polka.
Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie, who's not ready, holler I, who wants to play hide and seek? Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie, who's not ready, holler I, who wants to play hide and seek?
I am here, I am there, I'm everywhere, Molly's over there, Chad is over here, I am here, I am there, I am everywhere, let's all
peaches, pumpkin pie. Who's not ready? Holler I. Who wants to play hide and seek? Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie. Who's not ready? Holler I. Who wants to play hide and seek?
I am here, I am there, I am everywhere. Steve is over there, Jim is over here. I am here, I am there, I am everywhere. Let's all play hide and seek.
Apples, peaches, pumpkin pie polka with the Jim Busta Band. 21 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading of 37 degrees here in central Minnesota. It's waltz time with the Jim Busta Band. An old favorite, the Blue Skirt Waltz. The Jim Busta Band, nice rendition of the Blue Skirt Waltz there. And we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and it is brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of Freeport, Minnesota. And Jeannie texting me information, and she's commenting, "Why, how the weeks surely do go fast." Happy holidays on Sunday from Jeannie B's Tours crew. The holiday adventures are happening nonstop for the next few weeks, but Jeannie B wants to invite you to the meet and greets at the Corner Pub in Freeport this Monday, that's tomorrow, from 11:15 a.m. till 2 p.m. If you are interested in one of the 12 extended flyout tours offered in 2025, lunch, prizes, and treats are included. Come see detailed slide presentations for Alaska, Canadian Rockies, Colors of New England, Rails and Trails, the Danube River Cruise, Germany and Austria, New York City, historic Savannah and Charleston, Treasures of Ireland, Cape Cod and the Islands, and Nova Scotia. Call Jeannie B's Tours at 320-345-1581 to reserve for lunch. Invite your friends and family to join you for this exciting tour information. Stay tuned each week to hear details about the many Jeannie B tours already planned for 2025. Some that are happening include the Ark Encounter Experience, the Deadwood Days, Medora Musical Memories, Spring, Fall, and Christmas in Branson, Music City tours that include Branson, Memphis, and Nashville, Fall Colors of the Smoky Mountains, Door County, Wisconsin, Mississippi River Cruise that includes Galena, Illinois, and more. It is definitely not too early to reserve your seats on the 2025 Jeannie B's Coaches. Schedules for the many daycations and minications will be available very soon by calling the Jeannie B's office. Tours fill very fast in the new year. So once again, call 320-345-1581 to reserve your Monday, December 9th at the Travel Information Meet and Greet at the Corner Pub. As Jeannie likes to always say, remember, seeing is believing. And that is all for you from Jeannie B's Tours. And I'll tell you, we've had so much fun traveling with Jeannie. We always look forward to the next occasion, and you will too. Jeannie B's Tours, bringing us our musical treat for dancing feet here on KASM. Back to the music of the Jim Busta Band. Here's a nice country-type tune. It's one called the San Antonio Rose. Jim Busta Band, great number there, San Antonio Rose, and that was Molly, of course, on the vocal. And you might have picked up that that was Carl Hartwig on the concertina, a guest on that recording. 12:30 here on KASM 37, our temperature here in Albany. It's Old Time Polka Time, the Young Widow Polka, the Jim Busta Band. Nice recording there of the Young Widow Polka. That is the Jim Busta Band. As we come up on 28 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, and we are at 37 degrees here in central Minnesota, waltz time with Jim Busta Band. It's the Moonbeams Waltz.
Thank you. It's such a thrill to be near him, even just for one night. We'll say goodbye a very little while. So while I still have you near, please tell me you always love me, dear, and I'll leave you wearing a smile.
The Jim Busta Band with one called the Moonbeams Waltz. Coming up on 23 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. Jim Busta also recorded a gospel CD, and we're going to close out the show with one off of that CD, one called The Chapel in the Valley, the Jim Busta Band.
Brothers, we stand together. Lord, won't you come and be with us on the mountains and in the valleys? We praise you, Lord, for all to see.
There you go. One called Chapel in the Valley. That comes off of Jim Busta's gospel CD, one called Come Let Us Sing Joyfully, 2001 recording, the Jim Busta Band. Wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.